Okay, people, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Santa's coming to town.
Ah! Oh, my God!
Would you please tell him that instead of presents this year, I just want my family back?
Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight?
It must be magic.
I must find some way to keep Christmas from coming.
Nobody's walking out on this fun old-fashioned family Christmas.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
True, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about.
Seeing isn't believing. Believing is seeing.
Best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear.
Welcome back to another week of Tis the Podcast. The podcast that's determined to keep the Christmas spirit alive 365 days a year. I'm Tom.
I'm Julia.
And I'm Anthony.
Welcome back, friends.
Welcome back. Hello. It's like we never left.
Hello. It's like we never left.
Oh, it feels like we left. It feels like it's been forever.
You guys are in storm territory right now.
We are in storm territory right now.
Mm-hmm. What was the statistic I heard on the national news tonight? That like critical is very rarely used, and it's been used twice in less than a week for our area of Oklahoma.
Yeah, it's intense, y'all.
Yeah. So we're doing the whole put everything that's portable and valuable in the storm shelter, so when we jump in there, that stuff is also safe, which really equates to musical instruments and jewelry that I care about in our family. What about you, Tom? What do y'all do?
I cleared out the storm shelter today. We've got everything we need down there. And I'm just watching the storm tracking. Not much we can do, but we are at the highest threat level for tornadoes. And it's never good when you get this. Let me show you, Anthony, what one of our weather people here, the storm trackers, storm chasers. All the storm chasers are in Oklahoma right now.
Yeah.
Which you also don't like to hear. Mm-hmm.
I will say, Anthony, that July is typically not storm season.
No, you'll be fine.
I was about to say, when I saw the Fall Guy the other day in IMAX, I saw the brand new trailer for Twisters on the giant screen. So,
but it's same thing, right?
Same thing, right? Experiencing it in IMAX. I mean, it's a different trailer than dropped during the Super Bowl. It hasn't dropped online yet. It looks very good. And that opens, just saying, when I'm in Oklahoma.
Oh, that'd be fun.
That'd be fun.
Super fun. It'd be a very Oklahoma thing to do.
Yeah, see a movie about tornadoes.
Go see a movie about tornadoes. Oh, man. I prefer that to the real thing, but, you know.
Me too.
Especially when it's nighttime, you can't see them coming.
Can you do me a favor, though? If you get transported to Oz tonight, can you send Glinda my way? Because I have a few people I would like, a few wishes I would like granted. A few evil witches I want houses dropped on.
When your storm people are saying things like this, oh, we're in serious trouble, and craziest probabilities I have ever seen in my chasing career.
He forgot the D. I'm scared.
Don't be scared.
I'm sure that's the biggest concern.
Don't be scared.
For a storm chaser right now. Rat meow.
That is one of my unhealthy traits, is grammatical errors and whatever.
I do that all the time at work. If I'm, especially in Zoom meetings, I'm called on where I'm not paying attention, but I just hear the grammatically incorrect thing, I'll be like, well, first of all, it's this and not that. And people hate me for it.
It's loose and lose for me.
Yep.
That every time.
Sale and sell.
Yeah. And, it's, for me, it's the theirs. It's amazing that people still get the three theirs mixed up.
We're so snobby.
We are, and we own it at least.
Yeah, we do.
So I saw the Fall Guy last week.
And
it was really good. It was really good. Emily Blunt is adorable. And Ryan Gosling is just so fun. And plus Hannah Waddingham's in it, which I didn't realize from the trailers, which has a huge role. And I love her.
Oh, that's excellent.
And I don't know if you know this, but The Strangers Chapter 1 is coming out later this month. And
do you know how I know that?
They've been popping up all over the country for viral marketing, the three of them. And today they were caught outside of the Manhattan courthouse, outside of Donald Trump's trial, which was amazing.
So scary, so unsettling and scary.
Yeah, but it made me laugh.
Okay, well, here's a question. So that's viral marketing. Right?
Is
that like the right term for stuff like that? What movie that predated viral marketing or show or whatever would have been like an excellent viral marketing opportunity? Like, you think any movie that existed before?
That is a good question.
I mean, you guys are like super smart about stuff like that. I would love to hear opinions. It could have been some fun stuff. Like, even Oz, for that matter, right? Like, the first one.
Yeah. I don't know. Jaws. But the smile viral marketing from a few years ago is good, where people are just showing up on camera creepily smiling in the back of news reports.
Oh, I that really was creepy. Hate
that. And Planet of the Apes is doing a bunch of cool viral marketing, too. People dressed in, like, realistic Hollywood ape costumes riding horses along through big cities. Oh, kind of crazy.
Was that what they were advertising when you're like, we couldn't do this in the South because everybody has guns?
No, that was Sasquatch Sunset, but people were dressed as Bigfoot in Central Park.
That's right. Couldn't be done here.
Again, Peter Mayhew was very famously told when he was dressed as Chewbacca filming Return of the Jedi, don't go wandering off in this forest because we're in California and you may get shot because people may think you're Bigfoot if you wander too far. How are the kids dealing with the storms tonight? How's Ellie, Tom?
Yeah, how's Ellie with storms?
I'm trying to get her to go to sleep in case we do have to get her up. She's really worried about it. I'm like, don't be worried, dude. If anything happens, we got you, boo. We got you, boo. You're fine.
Yeah.
How are Jude and the younger ones, Julia?
I mean, we're a lot better since we have a scaredy hole. You know, to go into that helps get rid of a lot of the fear.
Yep.
So
it's amazing to have, isn't it?
It really is. Yeah, it really is. I wish that Oklahoma would do more to, like, and maybe they do, help reimburse the cost of getting them in the first place. But no, we're really thankful to have one. So, like, Gabe really likes to watch them, but they scare him. But Jude's kind of oblivious. I don't know. I think right now, a little too young to have connected the dots.
That's good, at least.
Yeah. I'm sure Lucy would really not do well going into the storm shelter. We haven't tried that yet, but
that'll be fun.
Drag her wherever we go. Yeah, that should be fun. We've got treats in there, so.
Good.
Better than having a barn elf running around.
Is it though?
I kind of like the barn elf. All you do is follow the rules.
They're gremlins.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Why are we talking about barn elves?
You tell us, Tom.
Because tonight, we are covering the 2023 Christmas horror, There's Something in the Barn. Traditions Die Hard.
Is that the tagline? Traditions
Die Hard. Traditions Die Hard. That's the tagline at the top of the poster. And for this movie, I'll just do a quick rundown and then we can talk about our history. Sound good?
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
So an American dude who apparently spent time in Norway growing up inherits a house from his grandfather in Norway and moves his kids and his wife, who is their stepmother, across the world to open a bed and breakfast in the middle of Norway, not speaking Norwegian or anything else. Not telling his wife that his grandfather tragically died somehow at this house. They get there and find out that there is something in the barn. Barn elf. Mm-hmm. Who decides to get a little murdery.
That's slander against our barn elf, but we'll get into it.
Is it though?
He gave them every opportunity to abide by the rules and traditions and share that happens. Also, I'm glad you specified stepwife, because the movie took a long time to say stepwife, and I kept thinking to myself, how old is she? She's not old enough to have kids that old.
You didn't assume it, like, right away?
I mean, part of me did, but they didn't confirm it, and I was just like, this is odd.
Yeah.
Stepwife was a babe, though.
She was not familiar to me.
Dude.
Anthony, what?
Come on.
There's a reason he married her.
Is there?
Because she's a self-help guru and she changed his life.
Is there a reason she married him?
That is hard.
Money?
Did he have money?
He had this amazing barn in the middle of Norway.
But he didn't know, not at the time, not when they got married.
They had a heart-to-heart connection.
Hmm. I don't know about all of that. Anthony, what's your history with this movie?
Never saw it. I knew it was coming out. I saw the trailer. I bought it last year, just never got around to it. So my first time watching this was Sunday. And I gotta say, I thoroughly enjoyed myself. I think this would make a terrific double feature with Krampus around the holiday season. So I was very impressed with it. I think Krampus is better. Krampus is the high point for Christmas horror for me. But it was fun. I really liked it.
Julia?
Didn't know this existed, like, at all until it was put on the list. Watched it today, and I'm with Anthony in his camp. Like, it felt very Krampus-y. Although, again, not the quality and caliber of the storytelling or anything. But it was entertaining, and this one would just be a lot of fun to watch with other people.
Yeah.
I liked it. It had heart.
Okay. I didn't know much about it until Anthony mentioned it and saw it on the list. And I turned it on to watch this weekend and sat through the entire thing. And I can say I 100% absolutely hated how much I love this movie.
Oh. Oh my gosh.
You like stopped his heart for a second.
I didn't go into it thinking it was going to be that good. I was blown away. I was so impressed. I would put this at the top of at the top of the Christmas horror genre. Right up there
above?
next to Krampus.
Wow. It really would make a good double feature with Krampus, I think.
It would be excellent. They even look similar, like the color.
They really lean into the Christmas aspect, which is important.
Yes, they do.
They did. And they leaned into Scandinavian culture and traditions.
I would just like to point out, listeners, because I guarantee you there are people out there who are betting, oh, Tom and Julie are going to hate this month and all the movies Anthony put on the list. But so far, 2 for 2. So bad we enjoyed it and legitimately good and enjoyed it. So.
You are winning, my friend.
You are
this
winning.
This one had like an 80% fresh tomato or something on IMDb or wherever I looked at it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was.
It really does. The IMDb has great things to say about it. It's actually, IMDb doesn't. It's only 5.5 stars on IMDb.
Maybe it was on Vudu itself that was like, this guy's pretty fresh.
I mean, I know we're going to run through the cast in a second, but do you guys recognize the elf right away?
I did, 100%.
I mean, I recognize him from the X-Files initially, but which one are we talking?
He was the Oompa Loompa in the horrible Johnny Depp remake of.
Okay, yeah. I've limited how many times I've seen that version of Willy Wonka.
He was also probably Ginnerbrick. A smart move.
He was Ginnerbrick in the Chronicles of Narnia as well.
Yes.
So we covered him.
Yes, mm-hmm. We did.
Yep.
So. But none of these other Jokers.
We covered Martin Starr.
We did cover Martin Starr, who was
He was in Spider-Man No Way Home. He was one of his high school teachers.
That's right. I like him. He makes me laugh.
He plays the dad. The mom is Amrita Akira. Akaria?
Babe. Amrita Akaria,
who was Eerie in Game of Thrones.
Also a babe in that show.
She's done a lot of other stuff. She was in 8 episodes of The Serpent Queen. She was in Kitty Cats.
Ooh,
Takeover. Huh?
What's Kitty Cats?
I'm sure she was a babe in that as well.
Considering the fact that it's a show for little girls, she was a voice of a cartoon cat.
Well, I don't know. That title could have gone either way, in my defense.
Well,
I agree.
She wasn't.
I was expecting it was a Showtime show or something.
Yeah, like me too. Now I feel awkward. Thanks for making me feel like a perv, Tom.
That is the highlight of my day that you told me I was able to do that. Thank you. There are two kids in this that we get to know. Lucas, who is the son, who is played by Towns Bunner. This is his only acting credit to his name.
He was pretty good considering it's the only thing.
Yeah. I liked him. He was sweet.
His sister, Nora, is played by Zoe Winther Hansen. She has done a bit more stuff. Nothing I'm really familiar with. She was in 8 episodes of the TV show Outlier. The movie... 8 episodes of the TV show Catch and Release. She was in The Bitcoin Car and 6 episodes of the TV show Live. So I don't know those. We've covered our main elf, and
I think that's pretty much it.
That's it, right?
Besides the cop, right?
That was Liv.
Oh, right? and who was the main neighbor guy who brokers a peace deal with?
Oh, I liked him. He was nice. Torg or whatever. What's his name? Tor-Og?
Yeah.
Tor-Og. Cal. Televang Larson. I liked him. He was funny.
Poor Og. And I don't think Torog doesn't have much in English that we would know either. Hmm. All right. So
for the record, when going into this, I didn't really know much about it. So when it started and it was subtitled in Norwegian, I was like, oh, wow, this is a foreign film. I thought there would be some English in it. So I was very pleasantly surprised when I switched to English, because this is America. Speak English first. No, I was too. I wasn't in the mood to read subtitles.
No, I was not in the mood to read subtitles at all. So let's get started. We have a cold open in Norway where there's some dude who is trying to destroy a barn and does not have luck.
He accidentally sets himself on fire instead of the barn.
He does. He tried to pull the barn down. That didn't work. Then he tried to set the barn on fire, and he ended up catching fire and burning to death.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Then we cut to 1 year later.
And what's happening 1 year later? Who are we seeing, Anthony?
We are seeing the Nordheim family. It's a family from California. So moving to Norway because Bill Nordheim, the father, inherited this dilapidated farmhouse / barn from his deceased relative. And they're moving. They picked up and moved their family across the world to open a bed and breakfast. First of all, I want to say about this beautiful landscape shots here of the snowy mountains and forests. It looked gorgeous. And it also helped that this movie, anytime they could, played actual Christmas music. including during this drive. And I appreciated that as well.
I did too.
But right away, you get a kind of family dynamics. Stepmom is clearly trying too hard with the kids who don't really appreciate her or like her. She's a lot younger than dad. Dad's kind of goofy and awkward. Sister's miserable. And son is a little bit of an outcast, right? Lonely outcast. Yeah.
They're worried that he's not going to make friends.
Yep.
Yeah.
They don't have to worry, though, as we'll soon find out. But right away, they stop because they are so impressed that they see instead of a deer crossing sign, it's a moose crossing sign.
Which, we have those in the States.
That's we have those in the States. And yeah. And stepmom, Carol, makes them all get out of the car to take a picture from the sign for the family Christmas card. Because your first holiday season in Norway, of course your Christmas card is going to be a little roadside, right? Instead of like the right. beautiful mountains. But I think that says something about her. She's a bit new agey. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, she's a life coach, right? That's her job.
That's her job. She keeps saying she to put on a happy face. But yeah, they take a picture and are photobombed by a real moose in the background. And then they've been
and they're like, oh, this is sweet. It's a baby moose.
Yeah.
But what happens, we all know. Well, maybe we don't. When you're traveling to like Yellowstone, moose are far deadlier than bears.
Yep.
They're moose so big.
Vicious. And where there's a baby, mama's not far behind.
Although we did hear this was dad.
Or dad, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, Sarah learned this the hard way in Canada too.
Oh, really?
Where there was a baby moose in her backyard and she went out to take a picture with her camera and got too close and mama came barreling out of the forest and her dad had to run out and rescue her by literally just trying to make himself appear as big as possible and running at the moose. So luckily.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that's terrible. I'm
glad it worked because they're mean critters.
Yes, they are. I would like to say Sarah was like only 7 or so when this happened. Now she was probably like 27.
Old enough to know better. So fortunately, cop pulls up with sirens on, scares moose away. We meet our cop, who is somewhat aloof.
Yeah, that's a good word for it.
And she is the only cop within 2 hours.
Within 2 hours, she's the only police officer. She meets them. She's very friendly. She's surprised that they're American. They end up going in and they find their house next, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. The property
is beautiful.
And the kids are less than excited at this point.
It's too cold. They miss home. They miss their friends. How remote it is.
Well, when the daughter's on the phone with her friend, they're like, do they have softball? No. Do they have whatever, dance at school? No. Well, what do they have? And she's like, nothing. They have nothing.
And mom keeps saying, happy face, happy face. Let me tell you something. This movie wanted me to look into moving to Norway, and Julia, I just did a little search. First job that comes up, senior Salesforce consultant in Oslo. So maybe you and the family maybe you and the family should do a year over there.
Maybe we should.
That's a great idea.
You may want to after November. Anyway.
Anyway, so then we have a time where we go into town and we start meeting the people, and the Norwegians think these Americans are idiots, right?
Can we talk about that Christmas village in town, though? How gorgeous that was.
So beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So beautiful.
The people are, you know, I won't say they're friendly, but they're
they're not very welcoming at all.
And all of them are confused about why they moved into that barn. That's essentially what they all ask.
Right.
Into that house. for that guy.
Well, they don't go that far.
They don't. Yeah. They don't mention that yet because wife doesn't find out until later. Mm-hmm. But there's a guy who runs a museum who ends up scaring the son and telling him, "Oh, there are barn elves, and you've got to be careful not to offend them. Be nice. Give them porridge."
Yeah, there are a lot of
noise.
They don't like lights. They don't like change. Yeah.
They don't like change. Maybe I'm a barn elf, actually.
And the barn elves look like the traditional, like, palm tees of Sweden, right?
They're taller, right?
Because I thought palm tees are tiny.
They're adorable. Yeah, they're like hobbit size. Well, half man size. They're adorable.
But the outfitting is definitely on point with a palm tee.
It is. It's they're adorable. All of them. So boy goes to the barn, ends up meeting an elf, tries to befriend him, brings him cookies. Elf is like, "Oh, I'll eat that. That's nice." And he's trying to tell his family, "Look, we got to follow a few rules. We don't need to make a lot of noise. We don't need to change things. We don't need bright lights. Everything will be fine." Which is the exact opposite of what the family's doing, because they're turning his barn into an Airbnb, basically, right?
Yeah. Well, they're also going to have a giant party.
And welcome all of the people from town that they've never met before.
Right.
And I thought this was interesting because people always have, like, it's why people are obsessed with true crime, right? You're kind of obsessed by the morbid. Like, all these people knew something bad happened at this bar, but they all show up.
Oh, yeah. They want to see what happened, I think.
Yeah.
So they get there and we know that the boy knows that the elf is ticked off. Actually, this is where the guy tells him about the porridge, right?
Yes.
He tells him how to make porridge for the elf and leave it out. But dad had tried before doing some sort of very disgusting. One thing we know about Nordic people, they like really gross fish dishes that we would not eat here.
I interpreted that to be that he messed it up.
Rather than it was disgusting?
Rather than it's just a disgusting dish. Not that it sounds appetizing, but I also feel like he messed something up.
They have really gross fish dishes, though.
Oh, okay.
Like, herring is very popular in Nordic countries.
I've never had herring.
Okay. So they have this gross fish dish. They have this big party. Everybody's having fun. The house elf is below the barn getting very upset. The daughter talks to other girls who are like allowed to drink because they're Norwegian, not American, and they apparently are better controlling themselves. But she ends up getting drunk and puking all over the elf.
Without realizing she's puking on the elf.
Right, because he's under the floorboards and doesn't know it, but he is not happy.
Can't blame him there.
That mom is also not happy that her daughter is swearing and drinking, and now they have to suffer through all this disgusting food. She ends up flipping out at dinner, much to daughter's delight.
Which, that's after the people leave, though.
Yes.
So everybody ends up leaving. All the people end up leaving. They're alone. And the house elf decides he's going to start killing people. He goes after, attacks dad, throws dad down into the cellar, locks the door. And just as he's coming to hit the daughter with an axe, the mom turns on the light and scares him away.
Mm-hmm. And this is when mom starts asking questions.
Yes. The boy's trying to tell them about the house elf. They don't believe him. He's worried, so he makes this porridge to make up for what the family had done. And he's going to give them the porridge, and that's supposed to mull everything over. But dad wakes up, eats the porridge. Boy's like, what are we going to do? Takes out disgusting fish, and elf eats fish and is just livid.
That was like the tipping point, really.
That was it. He's
you've been
got
giving
an axe.
Me delicious cookies, and now this.
Right, and he loved the cookies. When he came into the boy's room, he asked for more cookies, and the boy gave him two more. So, I mean, the boy thought they were friends.
It turns out he was just using the boy.
He was using the boy.
I would like to point out again, the Christmas atmosphere just oozes off the screen. The house is decorated beautifully with the giant colored lights.
It's so cozy in that house. It's
beautiful. The outside is beautiful too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they have a wonderful Santa who's coming to visit.
With a scary mask on.
It was a scary mask he was going to put on. Yeah,
why did he do that? He didn't have to do that.
But the house elf ends up finding him and stringing him up and hanging him from a noose made of Christmas lights.
Yes. With the old icicle through the head.
Yep, the icicle came through his head while he was choking. Wait, no, didn't he? He strung him up, though, afterwards, right?
He did. He got the icicle in the face first.
That's right. Icicle in the face, then he gets strung up by Christmas lights. And which, when the family comes out, they see this, they're scared, they run to the car. The car won't start, and the elf is beating their windshield with a sledgehammer.
And the elf, it turns out, has a lot of friends.
Well, yes. They can't get him off. They can't get the car to start. So mom turns on the windshield wiper fluid. He gets wet, scared, falls off. They turn the lights on, and he's kind of frozen, and he can't get up. But he starts this weird. I thought it was a death howl of some sort.
But it was,
next thing we know, tons of these house elves or these barn elves are pouring out of their barn and coming after them. They run back in the house. And the elves are busting out windows. They're trying to get in. They come in, and they are all very, very murdery.
They're a lot more murdery than he is.
Yes, our main elf kind of has a conscience, maybe.
Yeah, he starts thinking this is going a little bit too far.
The other ones just, like, jump right up in there, man. Like, they have definitely been mistreated their entire lives, and they're ready to take some blood payment.
The main elf could easily have been Julia or Tom, while the army of angry elves could have been an army of Anthony's running out of this barn.
As they're going after these people, they start fighting back. I don't remember, what did the dad do to get one off of him first?
Well, he had a snow shovel. Primarily there at the beginning.
I like is that they utilize a lot of the Christmas ornaments? Decorations.
Like the mom takes and throws a Christmas star and hits one of the elves in the head and it embeds in there and kills him.
Then they turn like the Christmas baubles into like bombs.
They do. But before that, the daughter gets to use her softball skills. She finds a bat and she's just going to town on these.
Yes, she is. Busting their head. Not all of them die, though.
No. Well, I don't think she's not doing enough to kill them. I think she's just hitting them in the head and stunning them.
Right.
Did y'all notice the parents were cowering as the one was going to kill the son and the daughter is the one that saved him?
Yeah. Yes.
I'm like, come on, parents.
Yeah.
Be best.
But that also gave a little humanity to my least favorite character.
The daughter?
Yeah.
Yeah,
she had a redemption arc in it, which was good.
Totally did.
Well, what I like is his family eventually becomes isolated in the daughter's room, like kind of locked in, and they have this really sweet.
While the elves are downstairs having a rager because they find alcohol.
Yeah, getting drunk.
Which I loved. I loved that. But the shows are not all evil, right? They just like their home comforts, right?
True.
But. I like
the family. They're evil.
Well, in fairness, they were there first. Maybe they have stand your ground laws, just like in Texas.
The cop shows up. They're telling the police officer what's happening. She doesn't believe them. She thinks they're crazy. And she also, I found her line funny. They're like, where's your gun? She's like, we don't all just carry guns. We don't just walk around shooting people in the knees and in the face.
We're not American.
We're not American.
We don't just walk around shooting people in their knees and in their faces.
But then poor cop gets it.
On her snowmobile. They go outside because they hear the snowmobile revving. She sees these elves. And one of them uses a snowmobile to eviscerate her.
Yeah.
It's probably the goriest scene in the movie.
It was
so
gross. The blood's flying everywhere, and then it flies all over the family.
And this is when they go up and lock themselves in the room, because I remember them bloody at that moment.
They're right. All bloody. That elf drives off quickly and tries to escape, and he crashes into the barn. And the barn elf, I think, got kind of ticked at that elf for crashing his barn, right? Did y'all get that vibe?
Yeah.
I did get that vibe. I did.
But I love the conversation between the family in this room. Dad's kind of like, I've been such a big screw up. I shouldn't have moved you here. And it's kind of like a, you know, a bonding moment for the family. It's their first real bonding moment as a family. Kids bond with stepmom. Everyone's bonding with dad. It's a very sweet moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the stepdaughter.
Is this where
stepmom's
they...
like, the stepmom's like, I know you don't like me. You don't accept me. You never have. And she's like, look, I'm a brat. I'm a terrible. I treat you like crap because that's what teenagers do. That means I accepted you a long time ago.
Yes.
But was this where they talk about their worst Christmases? And this one isn't the worst. I liked that too.
Yes, because they once had a Christmas where they had taken over the bathroom airport. They got stuck at a bathroom at an airport, all had food poisoning, and they just took it over.
I thought they were on the plane because they said none of the other passengers got to use the bathroom the whole flight.
Yeah, it was on the plane.
It was on the plane. Okay.
So much worse.
That is so much worse.
So they have this bonding moment. And stepmom and daughter decide to fill baubles with the moonshine that the daughter has in her room that she admits to. And the stepmom's like, we'll have a talk about this later. But they fill it up, throw it on fire, and end up just using these Christmas baubles as makeshift bombs. And they work.
Uh-huh.
They work. Awesome. Meanwhile, dad and son are going to take the snowmobile, right?
They do. The sled.
Yeah, the sled.
They get a sled because it's all downhill and they're going to go get help.
And they go to Tor's house, right? Tor's a guy who has been telling the son.
But they don't they don't show up at his house and before two of the elves get killed. By getting hit by like a semi truck.
Yeah, because they were following them and throwing saws at them on their
saw blades.
And these guys stop. They keep going, and they get smashed by a semi.
They do, and then they go to Tor's house. Tor.
They go to
Tor's house.
They go to Tor's house, and Tor is the guy who has been giving the son the lore throughout the movie. Yes.
Uh-huh. Yep. Sitting there smoking a pipe, having a delightful evening, by the way, like,
yep,
top notch by the fireside.
And they come and just ruin his night.
They really do.
But he comes to the rescue
after waxing poetic about diplomacy.
Yep.
Oh yeah, he's convinced that they can Well, it's funny because he has we don't have to resort to violence. We can reason with them. And not knowing that these guys have already killed a bunch of them. That made me laugh out loud.
All the American stuff made me laugh out loud.
Oh, 100%. I loved it.
Yeah.
But he does offer his assistance in helping. So they do make their way back to the house with Tor.
And what happens at the house, Julia?
They don't even make it inside, do they?
No, because I think when they're with Tor, don't they get a call that Harold is kidnapped or something?
Oh, right. That's right. Yes. So he gets a call from himself to Tor's phone. And it turns out stepmom and daughter, because daughter had gotten snatched in the forest, and the mom went to look for her and also got snatched. So now we have the boys and Tor show back up on the property, and they're in stealth mode. They're trying to find stepmom and daughter, and they see some elves ferrying away into the barn. So they follow them and they see a hatch that opens up into like the underground, and so they follow them. There's little tunnels. Tor can't believe it's real. He's shocked that all of this stuff is actually real. They do a few more funny America jokes about, you know, like the fact that they've already killed some of them, and Tor's like, it's not Detroit or something like that,
which I thought was very funny. Yes.
But when they come out of the tunnels, a la Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, a little bit, right? They come into like the other side where the elves live, and there's little huts there. But they see Nora and the stepmom tied up. It does look sweet.
It looks like, yeah, if they didn't have my wife and daughter hostage, I would be happy to investigate that place.
But they do see their family tied up there, and so they want to rescue them. So they go and start to untie them, and they're immediately surrounded by elves who are not happy to see them. No. And it was definitely a trap. So Tor tries to talks about the Oslo Accord and tries to negotiate with peace talks between himself and the elves, and gets shot in the chest, because one added bonus of them killing the cop with the, you know, with the snowmobile was that they have retrieved said gun. And a few of them have shot themselves in the face with it.
They shot themselves and blew up, yes.
Yeah, like the hazards of guns. I don't know if anybody was keeping track of how many bullets were fired from the gun.
I think of more than the gun could hold.
I think so too. I think so too. So,
I'll get her.
So Tor gets shot in the chest, which was confusing, because then it's like he wasn't shot at all.
Well, you know, it's funny because, like,
Didn't he get shot in the chest?
Yes. But I'm confused by how did the family resolve the situation with these elves? Because I know after they sort out the situation themselves, Tor comes out having reached a peace agreement with the elves, which is hilarious.
Oh, right. Okay, so we're going to bypass the whole getting shot in the chest thing. I don't know exactly what happened there, but it's like he got shot in the chest, he thought he was going to die, and then he was like perfectly fine. Anyway, so what happens now is definitely a turning point, because they're trying to untie the ropes around the stepmom and Nora's hands. They're having a really hard time. These elves have a gun, which does run out of bullets after they shoot Tor, but like they're still coming with like pickaxes and stuff. And so we see the son makes eye contact with our original barn elf, his barn elf, and he does this heart gesture, puts a hand over his heart, and it happened at the beginning of the movie when he promises to the barn elf that they would take care of him, and follow the rules. And so we see it come up a few times, but he does it again. And it's like the barn elf, who has looked really reluctant to participate in the more violent activities in the movie, like the whole time, right? He's got some reluctance to him, decides he's going to help his family, his human family.
Which I love.
I do. I love that so much. I was so happy about that. And so he gets his little knife out and he helps him undo the ropes. And so they're given the opportunity to escape. They make a beeline for the tunnels, and we see them coming back out of the barn from the tunnels in pursuit, but like they've got a little bit of headway. So then we have our final stand in the barn, where again the boys go on some separate mission effectively. They all scramble to the top, and then the girls are left to like take care of business. And we do see a really nice nod both to the beginning of the movie, where the original guy was trying to burn down the barn because all that detritus is left, all the explosives and kindling and all that stuff is left in the barn from the beginning of the movie in our flashback. But Nora has been honing her paper airplane skills in her deep, deep boredom. And she sees from the loft, look at the explosive materials, look at all of the elves, except for the one we like. down on the bottom of this barn. And so she lights a paper airplane on fire and gets it exactly placed in the right spot to ignite the kindling, which then leads to the explosives. And her and mom get out of the barn just in time to see it explode. And all of the elves still inside.
And isn't this when Tor comes out of the tunnels with the other elves? Like, I told you, peace agreement reached. Diplomacy works. Yeah.
And they're just returning him because he's got ropes tied around him. And they're just basically saying, you're back home. And they go back in their little hidey hole and back to
their elves.
Take
this guy away. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. So we've got the lingering problem. Well, what do we do with the barn elf? Because this barn elf looks really kind of sad. One, that his barn has been exploded. And maybe that he's sad about his friends, brothers, countrymen that are dead inside of the barn. Can't quite tell which one it is. So what to do? What to do with our remaining barn elf?
Well, luckily,
to a good conclusion.
Yeah, Tor has a museum that nobody visit, so they're just gonna move in there.
It's quiet. He's like, nobody comes here. And he promises to take care of the elf, because we are assuming that the family will be moving back to California at this point.
We are assuming everybody's gonna go back,
which is sad, because I just lived through this. We reached an agreement. I'd keep the nice little house in Norway.
Exactly, right? Like, couldn't they have just reconstructed a barn at that point and turned it into an Airbnb?
I mean, would the elf want to move in if they put the barn back up?
No, I just assume the barn would, you know, that it wouldn't really be a barn at that point then, right? It wouldn't need a barn elf because it wouldn't actually be a barn.
Oh, that's true. Oh, yes, because it would be from the beginning of the Airbnb. Yeah.
Right, and he already has a fun place to stay, you know. I don't know. I was a little bummed by the choice to move back to California, but it's just a throwaway part of the end of the movie. Family's bonded. They're hugging, and I do enjoy Nora's throwaway line, like, okay, we were just killing all these things, but sure, let's take care of this one. You know?
Yeah. Well, and I love the dad is like, you know what? You're right. This wasn't the worst Christmas ever. They're like, are you freaking kidding me?
Died.
And that's the movie.
That's the movie.
That's the movie.
It had surprise heart.
Lots of heart. Lots of Christmas cheer. This movie put me right in the Christmas mood with the atmosphere, the music, the decorations.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It was fun.
It was fun. I kind of want a barn elf of my own.
I know. I mean, he was really sweet. He even paved the whole driveway for them, because that guy was like, if you take care of him, he'll take care of you.
Yep.
But they didn't.
It had Linus moments. It had multiple Linus moments.
It definitely did.
Yeah. It's absolutely a Christmas movie.
Absolutely. 100%. Christmas movie.
And I will definitely be adding this to my Christmas canon. I think I really am going to do a double feature with this and Krampus.
I think that's such a good idea.
Mm-hmm. So what would you rate this one, guys?
I'm going to go with 10 bowls of porridge.
Oof.
Ooh.
That's awesome.
I love porridge.
I think I'm going to go with 12 exploding bubbles.
Bubbles.
I was going to go 12 barn elves killing, 11 exploding bubbles, 10 bowls of porridge, and so on and so forth, devil blind. I loved this thing. I am curious to see what other people think about it, though. If anyone else has seen it, if they've heard of it. And if so, what they think about it? Where can they do that?
You can hit us up on any of our social media at linktree.com/tisthepodcast, where you can find our Facebook group, which is happening, our Instagram, our subreddit, which is not happening,
and our Facebook page.
What else can they get from that link, Julia?
Well, it gets them a quick, easy link to our Patreon site as well, which is where we put kind of above and beyond content. So there's some Christmas stuff in our Patreon. There's a lot of not Christmas stuff in our Patreon. And for as little as $1 a month, you get access to all of that content. Different levels of giving get you different things. You can even come and host a podcast episode with us. And that's how we pay for a lot of the stuff we use to make the show sound better and run smoother. One of the things I'm particularly excited about in Patreon right now is our Tis the Ruined podcast spinoff, where Anthony ruins a horror movie for me. And I just get to react to him walking me through this movie. We've had a ton of fun doing that one. And we have more episodes planned for that as well. So if that sounds like something up your alley, check us out on Patreon.
One movie we will not have plan, we will not cover because Julia plans on watching it herself, is Abigail, which hits Vudu tomorrow, just so you know, Julia.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely watching that one.
Well, it hits Vudu tomorrow, so along with Ghostbusters.
Yay!
Oh, that new Ghostbusters looks good.
What's coming up next week, Tom?
So we're continuing Horror Month, and next week we are doing It's a Wonderful Knife with Kendall Ferre, our good friend, joining us. The following week, we are doing A Creature Was Stirring. And you might think that this is a month that Julie and I are dreading, but it's not. We are actually dreading June, which is where we are doing awful holiday sequels. Movies like A Christmas Story 2, Home Alone 3, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation 2, Uncle Eddie's Island Vacation, and Jingle All the Way 2.
It's going to be terrible.
But you know what's terrible, y'all?
What?
We only have 5,424 hours until Christmas.
That's 226 days.
That is 32 weeks. And I am curious to see if our winning streak of horror movies continues next week. This one's a doozy.
Do your homework. Watch It's a Wonderful Knife. Join us back with our friend Kendall Ferre.
Bye, y'all. Oh, and Julia, bye. Happy Mother's Day.
Oh, thank you.
Happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers and you mother
to
out
all
there.
The mothers.
Bye.
Anthony, nothing? Bye.